I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's up, my dino folks, my dino brethren? I've got a Patreon. Oh, this is Matthew Donald, by the way. You probably should know whose Patreon you're signing up for before you sign up for it. Just a handy life tip, listeners, at patreon.com/MatthewDonald. There you can find bonus content for both the Ritwit and Paleobites, my two podcasts. For the Paleobites bonus content, we discuss pop culture featuring prehistoric animals. And this month, we're talking about Dinotopia, a land apart from time. This is the one that started it all in the Dinotopia franchise, the lovingly illustrated picture book extravaganza written and illustrated by James Gurney. It's great stuff. It's an amazing world. I would love to live there, except for the lack of internet. I couldn't live without the internet. Link is in the description for where you can sign up to the Patreon, especially if you're looking at this from Libsyn. It's right there at the bottom, paleobites.libsyn.com. It's right down there. Thank you for your support. Have a lovely day.
Roar. Growl. Snarl. Bellow.
Welcome to Paleobites, the podcast with a host like an ammonite. I'm round, squishy, and I have no backbone. My name's Matthew Dald, and each week I and a rotating series of guest co-hosts talk about and rate a genus of prehistoric animal, be it dinosaur, mammal, arthropod, and so on. This week, I'm joined by someone who I've just had a nice long talk with about the universe, aliens,
and how much we don't matter.
And how much nothing matters. Lexi Ryan, how are you?
Hello.
I used that intro for a Patreon episode of Paleobites, but who cares? I'm going to use it again.
Why not? It's good.
Yeah.
Plus, that one didn't have me in it, so. Yeah.
Right, of course. Well, just like the, like, you know what an ammonite is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's like the one with the shell.
Yeah, I believe I have some earrings over on my table, actually, that are those.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like ammonites.
I'll have to show you afterwards.
In the second of my Megazoic books, there's this bad guy who creates these mutant creatures. He genetically modifies dinosaurs and makes them into these terrifying beasts. He turns this ammonite into a giant one and calls it the Ammokin, like a kraken, but it's an ammonite.
I'm just picturing the Pokemon that kind of looks like one of them with the Davy Jones face.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Cthulhu.
It's like Omnistar. No, that's like a gasoline company. No, is I don't know.
what is that one called? The gasoline? Sinclair.
Maybe. Yeah.
Hey, do you know... Do you ever watch this is just related. On Disney Plus, they just re-released Dinosaurs on Disney Plus.
I'm the baby.
Yeah, the 90s Jim Henson one.
It's like stop motion, yeah, right?
Well, it's like, people in costumes.
It's people in costumes?
Yes.
I thought it was toys.
No, they're in costumes.
It's obviously been a long time.
No, I watched some of it. I forgot. The family's called the Sinclairs, by the way, which is kind of funny.
I wonder if that's why that gas station. Also, I don't know if that gas station is anywhere else but Colorado. So
I've first seen it in other places.
Okay, good. Then it's not maybe. Just an us reference.
Yeah, no, exactly. Well, and also because, you know, it's as the dinosaur because fossil fuels, you know, so.
Yes.
But so they're the Sinclairs. That show ends really darkly, by the way.
I don't know if it's at the point where we do this, but I thought of another question to ask you.
Oh, yes. Go on. Yeah, go ahead.
My last one was a little odd. This isn't much tamer.
Yes.
So any show or movie or anything with a dinosaur in it, like as the character, what's the best one? Or, and it doesn't have to just be dinosaur. It can be like prehistoric.
So you're talking about like a thing with dinosaurs, but it's not just the humans are the main characters. The dinosaurs are the main characters.
It can be dinosaurs. Like you could
so like Jurassic Park doesn't count because those are the humans, right?
Yeah, that's true. So I'm talking about a dinosaur or dinosaur-like being.
Well, I can't say my book, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, that's cheap.
That's cheated. Maybe.
Because I've got one. I mean, it's not like a real dinosaur, but it would be what I qualify.
What?
I'm going to pick Mushu from
Mulan. Well, you know, actually.
He's a dragon.
You know, the original myth of the dragons, the Chinese found dinosaur bones, and that kind of is how they incorporate it. So it kind of fits.
That makes sense. I mean, you've been saying how many different, you know, species have been discovered in China, so it makes sense that would leap into, the, like, the culture.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know, maybe, do you ever watch, you remember Disney's Dinosaur?
My brother, was that a movie?
It was a movie.
Yeah, my brother had an animal with that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it had the dinosaurs. It also had some lemurs in it for some reason.
Okay. But those weren't around at the same time?
No, they weren't. They were not. These are like modern Safika lemurs. Yes. So I guess I'm assuming the executives put them in because they're like, dinosaurs aren't relatable, you know? We need something cute and cuddly.
Oh, I guess that one, that would be mine, or Smaug.
Smaug. Okay, if you're talking about dinosaur-like.
Yeah, dinosaur, yeah. I mean, you might know more dinosaur actual dinosaurs than I do. I didn't grow up with them as much, but so I'm thinking like dragons.
Have you ever played the video games or heard of the video games, the Borderlands series?
Yes, definitely have.
Borderlands. Okay. In the third one, I don't know if there were in earlier ones, but in the third one, there's this race of creatures called Saurians, and they're basically dinosaurs with guns.
Okay. I can tell why you would like that. It's very similar to a book.
Yes. Like, it's just really funny because like this one Saurian is on the ship and he asks you 4 questions and your player character is like, all right, well, I'm just wondering why you're a dinosaur. It's pretty funny. I never got if Borderlands was in the future or in some fantasy.
I think that's the sci-fi. Point. From what I've heard about it, it's kind of like the point to be obscure, I think.
Yeah, because like it's very sci-fi and there's no reference to Earth or anything. And there's all these weird creatures. But at the same time, they reference Earth legends like Zeus and other things. Yeah. They mentioned dinosaurs.
God, this sounds a little bit like it was made from the same people who wrote Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, because,
I don't know if you've ever seen that.
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
You got to watch that show. Yeah. I mean, I say that with getting to the last episode and not finishing it because I didn't want the ride to be over.
Well, you made it over at your own terms.
It's so funny because on that show, I know that we've now, you've made the adjustment to the Velociraptor sound for swears.
Yes.
But on that show, everything is frack.
Oh, that's where frack came
frack.
From.
Yeah. Yes. It is frack. Yeah.
That's fracking ridiculous.
Yep, that's exactly
mother
where it came
fracker.
From. Yeah, exactly. She'll be like, "Frack you, Captain!"
That's pretty funny. I like fantasy swear words.
Oh, I loved it. It was the first time I really had seen something like that.
Mud blood.
Oh, I guess that is one too. It was a naughty one. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's call me that.
I don't think
that's a swear name. I think that's just him being crazy.
Okay, well, speaking of Gollum and Smaug, we're talking about Orcoraptor today. It doesn't actually have anything to do with the Lord of the Rings raptors. In fact, it's spelled a little bit differently. It's spelled O-R-K-O raptor rather than O-R-C, like the orcs.
Why?
It means toothed rither feet, and the name comes from the Orcor, which is the local name of the La Leona River in Argentina.
Another Argentina.
Yes, from the Tehuelche people of Patagonia. It sounds like orc, though, so I'm like, why not?
Orc kind of sounds like the noise I would make if I was a pig eating quickly. Kind of, yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
That's true, it does sound like. I wonder if that's where Tolkien came up with the name.
He's just surrounded some pigs. Oh, that's a good noise. Maybe that's... They kind of act like pigs.
I mean, it sounds
pigs.
Like it's kind of close to oink.
They act like pigs.
Yeah, so, that's true. Yeah. Looks like meat's back on the menu.
We're on to something.
Pigs would be very happy if meat was back on the menu. Yes. Okay, so it means toothed rither feet. Type is a megaraptor theropod. I'll get into what the megaraptors are. Sounds hardcore, though, right?
Yes, mega.
Size 20 to 27 feet, slash 6 to 8 meters long. So about the size of a... No, not a butt.
What were you about to say? A butt?
A bus. Oh.
Whose butt you been looking at?
I don't think there's a single butt Godzilla's? Ever that big. Even a whale butt's not that big. Maybe Godzilla's butt.
Yeah, Godzilla. Well, he has a tail. We talked about how small the butts would be if you had a tail.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, no, it's probably like two pickup trucks put together. That's the length of this thing.
The length or the width?
The length.
Okay, good.
So height is probably like 12 feet tall.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe not two pickup trucks. Maybe like a pickup truck and then a smart car.
Okay. I like that we've gone to cars as units of measurement. It's good.
I mean, you know how a lot of people say football fields as a unit of measurement?
It's funny because I don't know anything about football, but I certainly just found out that a sedan was the kind of car I drove for a while, like 3 years ago.
I always thought sedan was a brand of car. No,
yeah, I thought so too.
No,
thank
it's just
you.
A...
We are just car
It's
ignorant.
Just like SUV or minivan.
Or a hatchback is a thing.
What is a hatchback?
A hatchback, I'm told, is what like my car is, the Honda Fit. Listeners, if you disagree, let us know.
Well, I don't remember what your car looks like now, so show me your car when we go back to the parking garage later. All right. So diet carnivore, another carnivore. We got some herbivores to talk about today, don't worry.
No, I like the meat eaters.
Okay, we only got one herbivore, then don't worry. A time late Cretaceous, 80 to 75 million years ago. Location, Argentina, again. It was described in 2008. Pop culture appearances, I used one in my final Megazoa book near the end as a one-off character, but other than that, nada. This is a pretty obscure one.
Is it as gross as an orc?
Maybe. I don't know, they're pretty gross. Well, I thought it was something the Uruk-hai were grosser, because they came out of mud.
Wait, and what does this one look like? Unless you're about to get into
that. Oh yeah, I forgot. I haven't shown you a picture of this before. Okay. I send you the picture here.
Yes.
Well, that is pretty gross looking. It's got little feathers. Got kind of glowing eyes.
Dude, it just looks like it's got no neck. It's just kind of go thick to thick.
Yeah, it does kind of look like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the orc arrived. You know, have you ever heard of the Warhammer 40K?
No.
It is a tabletop game. Okay. It's, you know, where you have these little soldiers and they kind of do things that, like, you buy the soldiers separately and you have your army and you can, like... And so you can build your army, and you can, like, act on these battlefields in these various turns. It's really nerdy. It's really expensive.
I was going to say, that sounds expensive.
It's very expensive, because you have to buy the figures yourself and paint them yourself. But I'm so into the lore. It is bonkers. It's called Warhammer 40K because, originally it was based off of the Warhammer series, which is like a Lord of the Rings-style world, but darker. But 40K, it's like, let's do it sci-fi. What year does it take place in? 40K. So now we're in 2000. Imagine 40,000.
Yeah.
So 38,000 years in the future. It's pretty ridiculous.
Scary.
Yeah. It's very dark. Like, very, very dark. But there is a group of aliens in it called orcs. So it's like, you know how Vulcans are like sci-fi elves?
Yes.
So these are sci-fi orcs.
Okay.
So they're green and have big teeth. And they're kind of like fungal creatures. Like, they reproduce by, like, spreading out in spores.
Oh, I was just covering. I was thinking someone covered in mushrooms.
Yeah, maybe someone. I don't know. But they're covered. They send out spores that become orcs or whatever.
Okay.
They're kind of the comic relief race. They don't have guns. They have shootas, not shooters. Shootas.
What did they shoot?
They just shoot bullets or whatever.
Okay, so a gun.
Yeah, just, they have guns. They're guns, but they call them shootas or big shootas or big mech boys. Or
it's just to like lessen the scariness of it. Oh, this isn't a gun. It's a shooter.
Yes, it's like a big shooter. And like,
there are no guns here.
Yeah, no, exactly. And they fire faster if you paint them red. Like that kind of ridiculous sort of thing. It's great. All their technology just looks all cobbled together out of scrap. It's a cool...
It's neat.
Yeah, it's a cool version of sci-fi orcs. But it's spelled with a K. And that's why I bring it up. Because normal orcs, like Lord of the Rings orcs or Warcraft orcs, are spelled with a C.
Yeah.
So that's this one, the Orco-Raptor, is spelled with a K. That's why I bring it up. So when its fossils were first uncovered, it was thought to be related to the raptors, like the Velociraptor. That's why it includes the name, hence the name Orcoraptor. In fact, one theory, though, was that it wasn't a raptor, but was closely related to the Compsognathids. You remember Compsognathus?
Yes.
The little one.
Yes, I definitely do.
Yeah, this was like a big version of it, they thought at first.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting. Like, occasionally this happens with animals where you have a bunch of small versions, then you have one big version.
Yeah.
Like, you know the Gallimimus, the ornithomimid ones, the one with like kind of like ostriches?
You mean the clindamycin?
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, the clindamycin. Side effects of Gallimimus may include.
Yes, I know gallimimus.
Okay, so those are, they're kind of like all ostrichy, and they're kind of all the same size. They're kind of like those little ostrich. Well, not little, they're still big, but ostrich things. But then there's this one huge one called Deinocheirus, which is like 40 feet long. And like looks so big and bulky. It's like, occasionally that happens. But it turns out it's not a big compsognathid. It is what is called a megaraptorid.
Mega.
Which is named after its original fossil, the genus Megaraptor. Okay. And it was called this because I told you when we were talking about Velociraptor about the sickle claws.
Yes.
Right. So when we first found Megaraptor, it was just the sickle claw, but it was a foot long.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, like those raptor claws, even the oversized ones, Jurassic Park, they're like, what, a couple inches?
That one's oversized. Okay.
Yeah. Like even the Jurassic Park ones are oversized, but even those are just a couple inches. So imagine one that's a foot long. So they were like, okay, this must, no wonder it's a megaraptor.
Yeah,
it's a megaraptor. We have since learned that that was not its foot claw like a raptor. It is, in fact, a claw in the hand.
Okay.
And it was just kind of like the pointer finger of the...
Okay.
So it used it like that. So it was a different version. It was still big. It would be way big for a raptor. Well, it wasn't like a big raptor. It was something else. So, and it's this weird sort of family that we've kind of... We don't know if it's more related to the tyrannosaurs or the allosaurs or other things. There's all these different families. You know, it's not just meat eater and plant eater with dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. There's all these different things. And Orcaraptor has been realized it's one of the Megaraptorans.
Okay.
And that's...
Makes sense.
Yeah, so it's in that family. And most of them are from South America anyway. So South America is weird because it's one of those continents that has been an island for most of its existence. Like, it only connected with North America, like, 3 million years ago.
I was going to say, you know more about Pangaea than I do.
Yeah. Like, it used to be connected with Antarctica and Australia. They have formed this weird continent. In fact, I've heard recently that marsupials first evolved in North and South America.
Okay.
Like, there were marsupials during dinosaur times. Like, they were kind of relatives of possums and other things.
Right. Is a koala a marsupial?
Yes.
Okay.
And back in the Cretaceous times, there was a continent called Gondwana. It was when Pangaea split apart, there was one in the north and one in the south. Laurasia was the northern one. Gondwana was the southern one. And Laurasia, if you might recall in my book, there's the Laurasia core. Mm-hmm. That's where it came from.
So. Okay.
It's the northern continents.
I thought you just liked someone named Laura.
It does kind of look like that. No, Laurasia was the name of the Pangaea. Okay. I do have a friend named Laura. She's nice. She's been on several Paleobites episodes. So. Laura, if you're listening, yay. You're a good person anyways. So there was a time when there was a continent that after Gondwana was further splitting apart, there was South America, then Antarctica, and then Australia. They formed this big line that kind of went towards the South Pole.
Okay.
Yeah. And back then, there was no polar ice caps. So Antarctica, even the South Pole, was a lot warmer. It still got cold in the winter, but the marsupials could cross it. They crossed from South America through Antarctica to Australia. And they reached Australia just as the meteor hit and the dinosaurs died out. But that meant that all the Australian dinosaurs... that were on the island, they all wiped out.
So this is another silly question, just really quick, about the whole, like, meteor thing.
Yeah.
And, like, how that affected the dinosaurs. So, did it affect... I know that large enough events that are, you know, in one place of the world can affect the weather patterns of the entire world.
Yes.
When that happened, when the dinosaurs, you know, were killed in that era. Mm-hmm. Did all of them go? Was it an everywhere thing?
Yes.
Okay.
What happened was that the meteor... created a huge load. What?
I'm just tensing because this is something that you and I both like.
Right.
This is both a anxiety big, inducing.
Yes, exactly. What happens when the meteor hit? It created these shock waves that hit a lot of North and South America. But what the real killer was the dust clouds.
That's what I was thinking, being the weather impact.
That was come up later. It covered the entire Earth for many, many years.
Yeah.
Photosynthesis basically stopped.
Because they had issues like that, I think, similar after, I think, like Mount St. Helens or something.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the thing with, like, why Yellowstone, which we know we're all afraid of.
Yes, but we don't have
that's
to
the
be,
biggest threat
we're not
with it.
Going to be as afraid right now, right? We talked about this.
Yes,
right?
We talked about this.
Okay, good. I wanted to make sure.
So far, it seems to have been dying.
Fingers crossed. If you want a good scare and you don't know about Yellowstone, give it a Google.
Yes. So when the meteor hit and the dust clouds came, it affected all creatures that were big enough to not live off of the tiny party plants that did survive.
Like cockroaches, probably.
They were fine.
Yeah,
pretty much every creature that was over 20 pounds died.
I got a lot of weight to lose.
Right, so since the Bambles were small at the time, because they were being outcompeted by the dinosaurs, they lived. Some of them still died, but...
That's fascinating.
But I bring this up because once they reached Australia, there were no dinosaurs anymore. And so the only mammals that were around were these marsupials. That's why Australia has marsupials. Has koalas, kangaroos, wallabies. These are all descended from these creatures that migrated from South America all the way to Australia. And that's why they're only in Australia.
Oh my God, I'm totally going to go and ask my Australian brother-in-law, hey, do you know why you guys have this? He's not going to know.
Yeah, because like, and that's why, like, you know, we have one marsupial in North and South America, the possum. So
that's really the only one.
That's really the only one. And that the relatives of that were the ancestors of all the ones that went to Australia.
Does a possum have a pouch?
Yes.
What?
A female possum has a pouch.
That's nuts. Okay. Yeah. Well, look at that.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people think possums are like weird rodent things. No, they're marsupials.
Yeah. I had a book growing up called Possum Come A-Knockin', and that possum scared me, and I never wanted to see one in real life.
I wanted to write a story once for kids called Awesome Possums.
So yeah, that's the kind of... This was about a noisy possum who was scary looking.
Yeah. So. I found out the name Awesome Possums was taken by a crappy video game.
Well, you can still... I mean...
Yeah, I don't know.
You can recycle it for a book, right?
Anyways, I bring all this up because there actually isn't that much to talk about with Orca Raptor.
But it's related...
To the Megaraptor.
To the possum.
Yes, that's the takeaway from all this, yes. And as a relative of the possum, let's rate this possum relative 1 out of 65 million.
Oh boy. Well, I feel like I don't know much about it, but I did get that nice little gem about, you know, the dinosaurs dying. Yeah. So, but just standalone.
You saw that picture I showed you, right, where it had the weird glowy eye.
Yeah. Standalone, I feel like, part of me is like, he's an underdog, give it to him. But now I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'd probably give it like 25 million.
I was going to say, I was like thinking like 22. Yep.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know.
22 mil.
In my Megazord book. Actually, no, I don't want to spoil it for you, but he's just a one-off character.
Oh, yeah, okay.
In the final chapter, he's like.
The final chapter.
He's very plot important. No, he's not. He goes out with someone this one.
No, but 22. 22 seems good.
Yeah. All right, well, that's it.
Solid.
That's it for this week. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can contact me at mattsd@methodoncreator.com for any general questions to either co-host. Or I can relay any questions, you know, either way, if you have any. Please send me some. I'm very lonely.
Okay. Me too.
Valentine's Day. More like Sigils Awareness Day. It's around Valentine's Day. We're recording this, listeners. Anyway, so... my social media is at Matthew Donald Creator on Facebook, at Matthew Donald 64 on Twitter, and Matthew Donald 64 on Instagram. Lexi, what is your social media?
Mine is LexiTate44 on Instagram.
Yep, it's good stuff. I also have a podcast called The Ritwit, where two twits talk about writing. And you've just recently learned what twit is.
Yes, I did. I don't think you're a twit, but...
No, I know. I just, you know, it's just like we call ourselves the Ritwit twits.
Yeah,
so.
Yes, of course, for the sake of rhyme.
Of course. Also I have a book series on that I've talked about several times on this episode so far called Megazoic, available for print and Kindle.
Pew pew lasers.
I actually realized the best way to encapsulate Megazoic is pew pew roar.
Pew pew roar. I love it. Pew pew.
Pew pew roar. Alright, well that's it for this week. As I say at the end of every episode of Paleo Bites, pew pew roar. Roar! Awesome possums.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.